We all right? Right, okay, just checking the spiritual temperature of the audience, congregation. Good evening. I'm doing the same thing that I did this morning in the morning service. So if you were here this morning, you have the delight of the second coming of the sermon. Happy days, some of you are thinking. And like we have in the past couple of weeks when we've talked about pastoral care, we're repeating it because it needs to be heard. Although this, we're starting a new sermon series in the morning, marvellous, which is looking at the one another statements in the New Testament, the one another commands. And we're not going to be doing this in the evening service, but we use this as a bouncing off point this morning. We're starting a new series next week in the evening service looking at the Psalms. And our preachers are going to bring their favourite psalm, a psalm that's touched them, a psalm that has spoken to them, a psalm that God has used, and also bring part of their testimony as they come and speak to us. So that's what we'll be doing in our evening services. But in the morning, we started looking at one another. And we started this morning with forgive one another, which is why I want to also talk about it tonight, because it's really important. Can anyone remember what our vision statement as a congregation is? Not Kath or Dan. Who can put their hand up and who wasn't here this morning and tell me what is our vision statement as a congregation? We will. You were here this morning. Well done. Ali got it mostly right. We will grow a relevant, Christ-like church that serves our community. Even good when the elders get it right. Well done. Phew. He's on message. Yay. Okay. So the question that we're asking in the morning, but it's a relevant question for the evening, is what does it look like to be Christ-like? How will we know when we've got to a grown Christ-like church? And the vehicle that we're looking at to look at that in the morning is the one another statements, starting with forgive one another, which is what we're going to be talking about. So I'm going to flick through some of the things that are just about the one another statements and move on to our two very short one another statements about forgiveness tonight. The first is from Colossians 3:13. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. I feel like I don't know who I should be looking at, because people will think I'm off. Are you looking at me? What are you saying? Generally looking at everybody. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you have a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Yeah? Dan agrees. Good. And our second reading says pretty much the same thing. Be kind and compassionate to each other. Forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Now, I'm sure all of you are inwardly going, yes, we completely agree with that, Minister. Yes, nothing we could disagree about that. I've got kindness down to a fine art. Compassion is my middle name. Well, it's not actually, it's Louise, but that's another story. We like the idea of forgiveness. I often say I only have a one-point sermon in me. This is a one-point sermon again. Forgive one another. When you've done it, I'll move on to another one-point sermon. Hopefully every single person here knows that you are forgiven. If you have had an encounter with God, if you have met the living Christ, if through the conviction of the Holy Spirit you've seen your sin and you've recognized honestly that Jesus is the only way to deal with your sin, you will know that you are forgiven. You will know that you're forgiven. You might not feel that you are forgiven, but Scripture tells us you are forgiven. Yay! Yes, Jesus. Everything in the gospel reminds us that God's plan was always to draw us back to him through dealing with our sin so that we can be forgiven. Our two very short Bible verses this morning remind us that those of us who have had forgiveness lavished upon us must in turn forgive others. There's no loophole in that. It's not an optional extra of Christianity. It's not a get-out clause at the bottom. Those forgive each other just as in Christ God forgave you. But that's not always easy to do, is it? Let's be honest, that's hard when we have been hurt, when we've been wronged. It's not easy, but it's necessary. And so the best place to start when we're talking about what it looks like to be a Christ-like church is what our hearts are like to one another. And the challenge is to forgive one another. And from then on, everything follows. Being at peace with one another, loving one another, encouraging one another. And so we talked about that this morning. But it's so important that we wanted to talk about it tonight as well. So everybody has heard the same thing. It's a natural follow-on from talking about pastoral care, but we wanted to talk about it particularly, excuse me, because we discern that this is actually a live issue for us as a congregation. In my conversations with you, in my office, in your homes, in church, in the conversations that Dan and Kath have had with many of you, in some of the conversations the elders have had with people in their pastoral groups, in the last year, people have told a lot of stories about hurt. Hurt and history. Hurt caused. Hurt remembered. Hurt held on to. And I'm not being dramatic to prove a point. Even generations of hurt. People who still remember how only those who were holy could come downstairs, and servants and the spiritually poor had to go upstairs. Oof. What sort of spiritual legacy does that leave a church, I wonder? That's a long time ago. If we want to grow into being a relevant Christ-like church, then it's good to honestly take a spiritual litmus test and be honest about who we are and to hold up our hands and confess of the things we've got wrong, about the times when we have corporately and individually fallen short, when we've not been loving or accepting or encouraging. So I want to tell you two brief stories, and if you were here this morning, you would have heard them, about why this is important. Both stories are from my last church, because I couldn't tell stories from this church because you would recognize the people. And Rebecca and Paul will recognize the people. So sorry. So the first situation, I've definitely changed the names, so you two don't recognize them, but you may do from this story, I don't know. It's about a couple that I married, and I'm calling them Paddy and Claire. They were not called that. Claire had been in the church for years. Paddy found it hard to step foot into a church. Church for him was a huge issue. And it became a bigger issue as we approached his wedding in church. The fact that he could not get inside the church. As it got nearer and nearer to the date, it became more and more problematic. Where am I going to marry them if you can't actually get through the door? And no one could understand why. He clearly did not trust me, which I was surprised about because I'm lovely. How can you not trust me? Answers on a postcard, thank you. He didn't trust the church, which we couldn't understand because he'd only just moved to the area and he hadn't been there long enough to discover who we were. He had no reason not to trust us, didn't know us. The family he was marrying into could not work it out either. And it became a real issue that we thought actually the marriage wasn't going to happen. So it was in one of our marriage preparation classes where we were talking about things that make marriages strong. Those of you who have done marriage preparation with me, you'll know the sort of things that I do. And we were going round and round in circles about what are we going to do if you can't come to church? Can't marry you outside, it's not licensed. What are we going to do? Where a question, I'd be praying about it, and a question popped into my head, ask him about his best friend. And I thought, well, that's a weird thing. It's nothing to do with what we're talking about. A nagging question kept coming to me, ask him about his best friend. So I thought, right, that might be of God, I don't know. I'll ask. So I said, Paddy, tell me about the story about your best friend. And the room went very quiet. Turned out that Paddy's best friend had been sexually abused over decades by the local Catholic priest. And knowing that, you can understand a fear and reluctance to get involved in church. And that was the moment of a beginning of a journey towards forgiveness and reconciliation. I felt it was important to say sorry for how the church had treated his friend. And to say sorry that that's not what God does. It wasn't on my watch. It was not my church. I was not responsible. But I felt it was vital for Paddy to be heard and have the situation recognized for the hurts that it caused. And that conversation made all the difference. They did get married in church, and he became a church member. Yay, Jesus! The second story, I haven't changed the names, and you two will know who they are. It's about Ed Kimberly and Lois Carter. Real names. Ed was the 16-year-old drummer in my last church. He was loud, very loud. He was boisterous. It was a little bit annoying, in fact. I really hope they don't listen to this. He was a bit like Animal from The Muppets. Don't know why they ever gave him drum lessons, but there we go. But he was faithful. He was there nearly every week, even when his parents weren't. One Sunday morning, there was a kerfuffle at the back of church over coffee. And 80-year-old Lois was in tears. Not that Lois, another Lois. She very angrily told me that she was never coming to church again because something that was so dreadful and disrespectful had happened and it had stopped her entirely from worshipping God. No longer could she worship God in this place. Crumbs. And she was loudly over coffee, proclaiming how dreadful this church was, and she was never going to come back, and she was going to get everybody who was in her friendship group not to come back either. I thought, crumbs. Canvassing opinion she was over coffee at the back of church. A woman who'd been in church all her life. So I thought back to the choice of songs and the content of the sermon and the words I'd used at communion, and I honestly could not think of what I'd said that was really offensive. I hadn't even done any of those flippant throwaway lines that I sometimes do that people hate. And I really couldn't think about what was so offensive until I discovered that what had deeply upset her was that Ed had kept his baseball hat on all the way through the morning service. Now, you laugh now, but it really wasn't funny, because you might agree that he shouldn't have kept his hat on. I don't know. Because that one act caused so many ripples in the congregation, it was frightening. It took months to sort out that situation. I'm not joking. She resigned her church membership over that one thing. The teenager's parents, one of whom was an elder and is now a United Reformed Church minister, very nearly resigned, along with his mum and wife. Ed, hat-wearing animal drummer, was the most mature of anybody and said, "If my hat offends her, I won't wear it anymore. It's only a hat. Get a grip." That's a direct quote. Right? Most mature of everybody. Now, I mention that because I know from pastoral experience, from listening to people's stories, that things like that get repeated. Experiences like that, again and again, in churches. How easy it is for a throwaway sarcastic remark, or a throwaway comment, or a backward glance, or a rolling of the eyes, or a tut, to have the most profoundly negative effect on people. I'm sure you're all now thinking of something like that that has happened to you. How easy it is for something to be misheard or misunderstood and held on to. Another story in my first Christmas. Another woman nearly resigned because of something she'd misheard in the sermon that I had not said at all. I should work for the United Nations. That's what people are like. We're broken. We're flawed. We clearly all need hearing tests. The story of Ed and Lois, there was prodigals that nearly left the church because of that. It was a literal pastoral nightmare. It took a lot of care and love and grace. It made its way into church meetings. So carried on firm chairing in church meetings to stop the ripples spreading and the story from being very different. It's a story that reminds us that sometimes we get it very wrong in church because we're human. Sometimes the church is spectacularly dim. Sometimes we're just plain stupid and backward looking. Sometimes there is anything but grace. And sometimes we just need to say, "I'm sorry." I'm not exempt from being a complete spiritual moron sometimes. Please don't nod. Danny's like, "Yeah, I know." I get it wrong quite often. I frustrate myself quite a lot. I frustrate Kath and Dan quite a lot. I frustrate my family quite a lot. So that must annoy some of you. I'm not perfect, far from it. And if my words or my Yorkshire brusqueness or my heavy shepherding of some of you, or my actions or my inaction or my flippancy or my weird sense of humour have hurt you, I'm really sorry. Genuinely, I am really sorry. Because I am a sinner. And we're all sinners. And where there's sin, people get hurt. Because we're all on a journey. We're all still struggling with sin. We're on a journey to get where God wants us to be. But we're not there yet. The church is full of imperfect people. Someone once said this, I think it's fabulous. We're all messed up people, that's why we need a Messiah. It's good, isn't it? Boom, tish. We're all messed up people, that's why we need a Messiah. You're all going to be using that, aren't you? No. Okay. That told me. Don't like your jokes, Louise, okay? But it's true, though, we are all messed up people. And there are some people in our church, and you might include yourself in that, that have been hurt by church. Some of us are carrying scars left over from other Christians. Maybe not in this church, maybe other churches. By your experience of church, by being asked to do too much, by serving in a team that is toxic, by not being thanked, by how you've received church. I know there have been times when I have put church stuff as a priority above my family, and that has hurt them. And I'm sorry. Perhaps that's been your story in your family too. Perhaps church has got in the way too much. Forgiveness may not be easy. Forgiveness sometimes is the most difficult thing we can do, but the thing we most desperately need to. Because if we want to be on a journey to being a Christ-like church, then we need to learn to forgive one another and love one another. And that's not just an empty apology. I could say, I'm sorry, but if my actions continue, that means nothing. The word apology is not used once in the Bible. Forgiveness is an active process. It's a conscious choice that we make. We decide to forgive someone. It's not a fluffy feeling. It's an act of faith. To pursue forgiveness is to pursue a new relationship. It's the beginning of healing and hope. But let me remind you that you will never forgive anyone more than you have been forgiven. You have been forgiven. I have been forgiven. That's the model of forgiveness that God has lavished upon us. So the staff team, the elders and I, wanted really to have a watershed moment where we were honest with ourselves about where we failed. We kind of wanted to hold up a mirror to ourselves and to confess our failures to God. And we wanted to start again and say, yeah, we know that things have not always been fantastic, but we need to begin again and pledge ourselves afresh to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. So there may be some of you that this is particularly resonating with tonight. So we want tonight to be an opportunity for something new. For you to perhaps spiritually to lay something down in order to begin a journey towards something, towards hope and healing. And I know that some of you, because some of you told me that you can't understand why we need to do this because church is amazing, Gordon. But I've not been hurt, what do I do? So the challenge is, sorry Gordon, I shouldn't have mentioned you, sorry. Sorry, Gordon. For those of you, and there are some of us who will go, actually, we haven't got an experience of being hurt by church. There will be some of us here. So the question I want to ask you is, can you think of times, and to be serious about actually our words and our actions and our attitudes may have hurt others, and asking God to actually reveal that to us if need be. To show us. If we are to travel towards being a Christ-like church, then we need to begin again. So today we're going to do something a little different. There are some prayer stations set up around the church. Thank you to Alan for doing that for us. And we want to give you time to kind of process what we've said in different ways, in whatever way that is helpful to you. So there's different prayer stations. There's two different things to do here. There's two different things to do over there. There is something to do over there. And here we have communion, which might be helpful for to do as your last thing. The band, well, Dan, and maybe others in the band, are going to play in a moment. And I think Kath has... Have you got a whole team? Okay. Kath and I... Okay, if you wish to join in with the prayer stations, you can sit where you want to sit and continue singing. If you want somebody to pray with you, speak to Kath and she will either pray with you herself or find someone that can pray with you. You can stay seated and not move a muscle if that is helpful to you. I invite you to take part in whatever you feel led to, in whatever way that feels appropriate to you. But if this is something that we've been talking about that is resonating with you tonight, can I implore you to do what you need to do with God, to lay this down, to begin again, so that we, as the people of God gathered in this place, can be the healthy, Christ-like people that he calls us to be. Let's pray together. Yeah, that's fine, carry on. Loving Father, thank you that you call us to be your church. And we are sorry for the times that we have messed that commission up. Please forgive us. We are sorry for the times that we have not loved as you have called us to love. We are sorry for the times that we have judged. We are sorry for the times that our words and our actions have kept people away from you. We're sorry for the times that this place has been a hard place and we've hurt one another. Please forgive us. Holy Spirit, come amongst your people and move in gentleness and in power. Convict us, challenge us, change us. and move and shape us to be more like Christ. In whose name we pray. Amen.